This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now, your host, Bill Watson.
Well, again, welcome to another international telecast of the Armor of God, and it's good to be with all of you once more. Today's program was specially prepared to help you to better understand, well, just how God is going to resolve humanity's problems. Now, many of you regular viewers know that we cover and have covered a wide variety of topics over the years on this program, from religious topics, political and social issues, to Christian living, health, and even child rearing finds its way into our formats from time to time. But today's program is going to come at you a little bit differently, and I think you're going to find it, well, rather interesting from the angle that we approach this particular topic. Let me take a moment here to explain to you just for a moment what I'm kind of talking about as I try to set this program up a little bit. If you have your Bibles, turn with me over here to Zechariah 14. Now, I've already turned there, but I wanted to point something out. Now, many of you may already be familiar with this particular chapter in the prophetic book of Zechariah, but essentially what it does is it covers the end times, and it talks about here in verse 1, "Behold, the day of the Lord comes, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee, for I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle." And then it goes down through describing a bit of how the city is going to be taken, the women will be ravished, houses are going to be rifled, and so on. But in verse 4, notice this now, "And his feet," that is this Messiah who is coming, and many of you who understand that Jesus Christ is indeed the Messiah, this is basically talking about his return and his arrival over in Jerusalem upon that return. And here in verse 4, we are literally told by this prophet Zechariah, "His feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem, on the east." And then again it goes down and describes what's going to happen a little bit to the Mount of Olives there in Jerusalem, how it's going to split in two, and fresh water is going to come out and go to the Mediterranean and then go over to the Dead Sea, making both of those bodies of water fresh water as opposed to salt water. But here again, interestingly enough, in verse 9, it concludes this segment in this chapter where it says, "And the Lord shall be king over all the earth," and commencing then, of course, as many of you perhaps even understand, the millennium, the 1,000-year rule and reign of Jesus Christ on this planet as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But I want to bring your attention to something very interesting in this chapter over here in verse 16, "And it shall come to pass," now notice this, "it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and keep," look at this, "the Feast of Tabernacles," of all things. And then it proceeds to describe in the remaining verses here that if indeed those nations don't keep the Feast of Tabernacles, God is going to correct them and punish them by withholding rain. Amazing. In John chapter 7, I don't know how many of you are aware of this, in the New Testament, now this was the Old Testament, but in the New Testament, we're told Jesus Christ is observing the Feast of Tabernacles. As a matter of fact, his brothers were a little sarcastic about it, and even mentioned the fact that, well, you know, if you want to be known, Jesus, you ought to go down to the feast, because that's where everybody's going to be gathered for the next 7 to 8 days. And, of course, described there in John 7, Jesus Christ was indeed listed and recorded as keeping the Feast of Tabernacles. Why? Why the Feast of Tabernacles, the first bit of legislation in the millennium? Why, in Jesus' ministry, when he walked this earth, did he observe the Feast of Tabernacles? Well, understanding the Feast of Tabernacles is indeed a unique piece to the puzzle if you're going to understand how God is going to solve mankind's problems. So, for the next few minutes remaining here on the program, sit back, relax a little bit, and watch this special presentation. I'll return at the end of the program to explain to you how you can obtain this free copy of today's program. I'll be right back then after the program. Welcome to this special presentation that has been sponsored by the Church of God International and produced by the Armor of God media team. It's been designed basically to, well, answer some questions about God's plan. What is God doing? You see, many of you over the years of broadcasting the Armor of God telecast internationally have asked us the question about whether or not God does indeed have a plan. And if he does, what is God intending to do to resolve some of mankind's injustices, his anger, his hostility, well, frankly, his inhumanity to man? Well, believe it or not, my friends, there is indeed in your Bible a key to understanding what God's plan is and how he does intend to resolve some of mankind's what appear to be overwhelming problems. They're listed as holy days in the book of Leviticus, particularly in chapter 23. And in the listing of these seven holy days, there is one holy day in particular called the Feast of Tabernacles that really illustrates how God does, in fact, intend to resolve mankind's problems. Well, today I've got my good friend, Mr. Bronson James, with me. Many of you know him as one of the commentators on the Armor of God telecast. Bronson, good to have you here with us today.
Well, Bill, it's great. Thanks for having me here in this beautifully idyllic setting.
Oh, it's good to have you here, really. And even more so because I understand you're going to help us a little bit in understanding just how God's holy days illustrate to us what God is in fact doing, and in particular, how the Feast of Tabernacles illustrates the method by which God is going to help mankind resolve his problems.
Well, Bill, you know this is quite a broad subject, but it bears some illumination. From the book of the Torah, the books of the law, the first five books of the Bible, we find presentations concerning all of the holy days. But as you matriculate through the Bible, all the way through the book of Revelation, you are struck by the fact that God is going to set his hand into the affairs of human beings to bring that very item that man desires to see, and that's peace. The Feast of Tabernacles pictures a time of peace when God the Father and his Son Jesus Christ are going to intervene in the affairs of humankind and establish his kingdom. Jesus Christ talked about the kingdom of God. It's going to be established on the earth. and the Feast of Tabernacles is an integral part of explaining that circumstance. Now, when you come to an idyllic setting such as this, you should also come to understand why the Church of God International frequently selects spots like this where people can contemplate the peace that is to come through the Feast of Tabernacles.
They promote an atmosphere useful for learning the plentiful meanings of the Feast of Tabernacles. But you may still be wondering and asking, what is the Feast of Tabernacles? And what significance does it have for Christians today? That is a question embedded with great mystery and intrigue reaching all the way back to Greco-Roman culture of the early New Testament church. Sadly, due to Greek philosophy, identified in history as the Hellenizing era, men like Plato, Socrates, Aristotle, Cato, and along with some others, caused the early New Testament Christians to abandon many of the original teachings of Jesus Christ. The Feast of Tabernacles was discarded as a Jewish festival. However, many modern 21st century Christians are blinded by traditions adopted from this Babylonian, Greco-Roman culture, camouflaging the obvious scriptural connection with Jesus Christ and the New Testament church. Jesus Christ observed the Feast of Tabernacles. Now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. His brethren therefore said unto him, Depart from here and go into Judea, that your disciples also may see the works that you are doing. But when his brothers had gone up, then he also went up to the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. Now, about the middle of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, How does this man know letters, having never studied? Jesus answered them and said, My doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me. Jesus Christ observed the Feast of Tabernacles because there were important meanings and patterns portrayed by it. He knew it revealed how God would ultimately resolve mankind's problems. And humanity has many enormous issues currently driving him closer to the eve of destruction. War continues to plague humankind. Ongoing conflicts continue to disturb peace efforts in the Middle East, Africa, and Europe. South America continues to face civil unrest and is increasingly suspect of harboring terrorists, while China begins to emerge as a new contending world power. The world, using many international organizations and charities, forges ahead, battling against plagues of famine, pestilence, starvation, disease. The many conflicts and assorted issues seem so overwhelming and beyond mankind's ability to solve them.
Unfortunately, God's Word, the Bible, is explicit. If God does not intervene, humankind will self-destruct. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. But central to the meaning of the Feast of Tabernacles is this message of world peace unto all men of good will among all nations and people. A time when the knowledge of the true and living God will cover the nations as the oceans do the seabeds. The prophets of old confirmed. Jesus Christ will establish God's rule of law throughout the whole world, commencing from the Mount of Olives in Jerusalem. Behold, the day of the Lord is coming, and in that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall be split in two, from east to west, making a very large valley. Half of the mountain shall move toward the north, and half of it toward the south. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day, there shall be one Lord, and his name one. And it shall come to pass that everyone who is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. This is the framing of the Feast of Tabernacles. World peace, utopia, throughout all the world and around the globe. The Church of God International attempts to capture this future event by selecting locations that promote family, friendship, and a love for God and humanity, with an emphasis on learning about God's plan in an atmosphere of worship, unity, and fun. In the course of this 7-day festival, many events and opportunities to participate are made available. Worship services, Bible studies, camping, entertainment, fellowship, dining out or just visiting with friends and family. The Feast of Tabernacles is all about celebrating the kingdom of God on earth, resulting in world peace and benefiting all of humanity. Living waters on the great last day represent eternal life proceeding from those resurrected Christians, now immortal, helping Jesus Christ, King of Kings, prepare the world for the resurrection of the rest of the dead. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Jesus Christ beseeches men and women everywhere that if we would believe on him, immortality will be ours. This day, the great last day, is in recognition that ultimately all of mankind will have an opportunity to be born of God as immortal beings. Now that is something to rejoice about. So there you have it. That's the abbreviated presentation of God's plan through the Feast of Tabernacles to intervene in the pursuit of peace by humankind that will come to no avail. But because God will intervene, he is going to establish his kingdom and his rule of law on the earth.
Boy, that's a mindful of information, Bronson.
Well, it is, but King David, you know, he opined in one of the great Psalms, Psalm 8, that God Almighty has his mind full of humanity, that his love is so extensive that he is going to intervene and cause men to embrace peace when there has been no peace through all of the human elements.
You know, listening to you, if I got this right, and correct me if I'm wrong, but in addition to what we've just seen and hearing what you're saying, if I've got this right, what I'm beginning to understand is that the Feast of Tabernacles also means, I mean, there seems to be additional meaning that, in fact, man ultimately is going to tabernacle with God, and God is ultimately intending to tabernacle with man.
Well, absolutely, Bill. I mean, the whole human existence in our tabernacle buildings that are temporary will be visited, and was visited historically by Jesus Christ who tabernacled in the human flesh. But ultimately, when that millennial reign has expired 1,000 years, on the other side of it, God the Father himself is going to come down and dwell among former human beings and tabernacle with us on a permanent basis.
Well, there you have it, friends. As you can see, the Feast of Tabernacles has many additional deep, rich meanings. And frankly, the only way that you can really get a true sense of what the Feast of Tabernacles is really all about is to feel it. And frankly, one of the best ways of getting that sense of feel about the benefits of what the feast can do for you and your family is to experience it. So let me take this opportunity on behalf of all of us here at the team of the Armor of God Media Group, as well as the home office there in Tyler, Texas, to offer this as an open invitation to all of you to come on down and keep the Feast of Tabernacles at one of our sponsored sites. Let me suggest, though, also that before you do that, that you call us on our 888 number, that's 888-578-8791, or our website at www.cgi.org. There you'll be able to obtain the locations of where those feast sites are, because they do change from year to year. Also, let me ask or mention this as well, and that is that if indeed this presentation has been helpful to you and you've found it rather, what you could say, edifying and helpful in the sense of explaining what the feast is and would like to share it maybe with family and friends, well, then do take the opportunity when you make that toll-free call or hit us on our website to ask for your free offer. And let me emphasize free, because this presentation is on a DVD format, not on VHS, but DVD format for your obtaining upon your request. So do take the opportunity, because I think your family and friends would certainly enjoy listening to something that would interest you or has interested you on this level. For the rest of you, though, who are intending on keeping the feast, and those of you who have grown to become accustomed to keeping the feast from year to year, let me again, on behalf of the home office and those of us here representing the Armor of God media team, to wish you a happy Feast of Tabernacles and Godspeed to all of you there keeping the feast.
Bill.
What?
I think you're forgetting something.
What am I forgetting?
Well, you know, we often remind people of a very important point as we close out each program on the armor of God.
Oh, okay.
To put on the whole armor of God, my friends.
that you may be able to stand in the evil day. Amazing, isn't it? The Feast of Tabernacles. Did you ever think that there was such deep and rich meaning attached to it? You know, it's sad, my friends, that it's been discarded as some just Jewish holiday and totally disconnected from Christianity. There's so much more that could be said about this topic, but needless to say, time's run out on us. So let me just again remind all of you, dial this number, 888-578-8791. Ask the operator for your free edition of this program. That is a DVD copy. You're going to get a full 20-minute or so presentation, video presentation. You can show your friends and family members if you'd like, replay this, talk about it, and actually perhaps even study it to determine really whether or not there is indeed a connection to the Christian way of life. Jesus Christ observed it. And, of course, was issued to the nation of Israel back in Leviticus 23 as shadows of things to come. So get your free copy along with the booklet, God's Seasonal Plan, which will help you to better comprehensively understand all of the holy days and their relationship to one another. 888-578-8791, that website at www.cgi.org. Don't forget, friends, catch us next week, and as we always remind you, you keep on that armor of God so that you may be able to stand in this evil day.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by the Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at Post Office Box 2525, Tyler, Texas 75710. Call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791 or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at cgi.org or email us at armorofgod@cgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
The Armor of God deals with the solutions to our broken world. New perspectives presented for your consideration by our commentators in these tumultuous times. Don't miss this week's program.
This program is sponsored by the Church of God International and supported by our viewers.